This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, October 11th, brought to you by Rabble AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Bird flu from dairies on the rise. Nutria raise alarms in the Delta. CDFW navigates wolf politics, and CropLife CEO points out positives in herbicide strategy. California confirms fourth case of human bird flu. A fourth dairy worker has contracted bird flu from cattle. Two additional cases still pending, according to the California Department of Public Health. Each is a separate case with no indications of human-to-human spread and only mild symptoms in each person. As of yesterday, CDFA had confirmed bird flu in 99 dairies in the state. Nationwide, the Centers for Disease Control has confirmed 18 cases in humans and 298 cases in dairy herds across 14 states. On that note, a California dairy linked to a fatal listeria outbreak has shut down operations amid an ongoing investigation. Riza Lopez Foods, Inc., based in Modesto, supplies products to Trader Joe's and Whole Foods, among other retailers. Since February, tainted cheeses from the company have led to 26 cases of listeria across 11 states, causing two deaths. The U.S. Justice Department obtained a court order this week requiring the company to halt its manufacturing and distribution. Bonham gives a shout-out for rodents of an unusual size. Invasive nutria are making inroads in Bay Area watersheds, gaining a lot of attention. That prompted Director Chuck Bonham this week to detail the hidden work of the Department of Fish and Wildlife in trying to eradicate the 25-pound swamp rats. He pointed out that trappers attempted to introduce the South American rodent in California starting in 1899. Stable populations later sprouted in the Central Valley and Central Coast in the 1940s. In the 1970s, the state declared the pests eradicated. Yet in 2017, a thriving population of the San Joaquin Valley was detected moving the following year to the southern edge of the Delta. The voracious eaters destroy wetland habitats and weaken infrastructure by burrowing under roads, bridges, and conveyance canals. CDFW flipped into emergency command mode with the new infestation. With $23 million in state and federal funding, it has taken down more than 5,000 nutria. The agency has deployed more than 165,000 traps and 12,000 cameras and uses detector dogs to track down the nutria scat. Despite the carnage, the rodents have continued to spread along the Delta's fringes and this year into Contra Costa County. Bonham acknowledged he is more optimistic than the department's experts on whether eradication is a realistic goal. Decades of nutria battles in the Chesapeake Bay have yet to bring the population to zero. By the way, Bonham shot down any notion of sponsoring a hunting contest. He said Louisiana's campaign has been complicated and shown little success. Bonham visits ranchers hit with wolf attacks. At the same Fish and Game hearing, Bonham shared takeaways from his trip this week to ranches in Sierra and Palmas counties that have lost livestock to wolves. On the tour, county supervisors told Bonham they understood wolves are the future in California. They also stressed the need for the state to work with rural counties on strategies to coexist with the predators. Bonham noted similar situations playing out with aggressive bears in the Tahoe Basin and mountain lions in El Dorado County, where a hiker was killed in March. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. CropLife CEO, final herbicide strategy has a lot of wins. EPA's final herbicide strategy, developed in an effort to protect threatened and endangered species, is a lot better than the draft. CropLife America President and CEO Alexandra Dunn says on AgriPulse Newsmakers this week. The initial strategy was unworkable, Dunn said, but the final version, quote, has a lot of practical aspects to it, including opportunities for growers to get credit for on-farm practices, erosion control, and mitigation efforts. Dunn estimated there would be 4 or 5 crop protection products that will have Endangered Species Act requirements in 2025. It's a really important point for growers to know that there's not a tsunami of ESA requirements coming their way, she said. They're going to have time to get used to these requirements and prepare for them. You can hear more from Dunn, plus panelists Ashley Smith from Tory Advisory Group and Paul Winters from Clean Fuels Alliance America discussing biofuel policy on today's Newsmakers episode. States and Farm Bureau begin to assess hurricane damage. Hurricane Helene had an estimated $6.46 billion impact on Georgia's agriculture industry. That according to preliminary reports announced by Georgia Agriculture Commissioner Tyler Harper. Of the total impact, the preliminary direct losses to farm families and forest landowners reached nearly $3.2 billion. Harper wrote on a post on X yesterday, "We have a long road ahead, but we will not stop working until we've delivered the relief Georgia farm families desperately need." Milton's destruction. Florida, on the other hand, is just beginning to project the estimated damage of Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton, which struck the state Wednesday night. Economists at the American Farm Bureau Federation anticipate that vegetables will experience the most losses at $1.6 billion, followed by fruit and tree nuts, which are expected to see about $1.3 billion in damage. In total, AFBF estimates over $5.7 billion in damages to Florida's agriculture sector. The estimates rely on 2022 U.S. Census of Agriculture data, along with power outage data from yesterday. Phosphates may be spared. Josh Linville, the director of fertilizer at Stone X, told RFD-TV yesterday morning that Milton's sudden turn south meant that Tampa managed to avoid the worst flooding and damage. Slightly more than 60% of the phosphate fertilizer produced in North America comes from Florida, Linville said. That includes mining, processing, and production facilities clustered near Tampa. Too early to know for sure, but it looks like phosphate production dodged a huge bullet, Linville said on X. Major phosphate manufacturer, the Mosaic Company, said it's checking on employee safety. When conditions allow, we'll begin assessing the impacts on our operations, the company said in a brief statement. Well, here's today's final word. I remain committed to improving the working conditions of the people who put food on our tables. That's Senator Dave Cortese of Silicon Valley hinting a new legislation next year aimed at protecting farm workers after Cal OSHA fined the employer of the Yolo 6 workers over heat violations. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, October 11th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.